You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
There we go. You know how the best way to forget how to hate Ozzy?
How's that?
Let's go to a happy hour. That's what I would do.
It's happy hour day.
It's happening.
Dude.
Mulligans tonight. Make sure you... There's no excuses for you Eastsiders.
No. True.
Every time I do something like Foothills or Eastside, our North Oro Valley area, why can't you do something on the Eastside? We're doing it.
There you go.
You asked, we deliver.
God, we're good.
That's what we do here.
Yeah.
I'm like a little happiness fairy with my little wand, and I go around and go ding happy.
I was gonna say that, but I didn't know how you would take it. So okay,
this is what's happening.
You the happiness fairy.
This is what happens. There's a good Homer Simpson line. I gotta see if I. Well, how are you doing, Homer? Oh, that's me. I'm running around making people happy. So we're happening it tonight. Happy hour, Mulligans, Golf Links, and Harrison. Please join us. I've talked to a few of you good people, and I know a few of you who are coming, so can't wait to hang out and have a kick butt hamburger wing, something like that. So we're doing that today. I snuck a little peek at holidays today.
Mm-hmm.
Today is National Waitstaff Day.
It is. Please tip your waitstaff. Thank you.
Unless it's a to go order.
No, well, that's a whole different story, because me and Joe were on one side and you were. I always tip them. Somebody's working for a living, man. I always tip.
Actually, I don't want to get into that today.
I know.
It's my fault. I said it, so yeah. I apologize. But I will tell you that the art of being a waiter or waitress, server, whatever you want to call them nowadays, I feel like I'm sounding like my dad now, or my great grandfather.
Isn't that weird?
I feel like there's a lesser percentage of each ongoing generation that somehow gets customer service. But I'm not saying there are a lot of amazing young people who are great at what they do.
Yeah.
Like at Rocco's, there's a guy named Logan. Short brown hair. Logan's one of the best servers in town. There's my crew at Medendetto down on the south side. Anna, Alex, Ines, there's one more I'm missing. Those ladies get it. And what I've learned after all these years working in hospitality.
Yes.
What do I want to do? What do I want for my server, right? So there's two things, and I've taught this in some guest service classes I've done in the past. Is no matter what the circumstances, you treat that person as your favorite relatives coming to visit you for lunch, dinner, whatever. No matter what happened that day, your better half dumped you, your dog's right. Sick, your car broke down.
It's not your job.
Make it happen. Mm-hmm. And then number two, I learned this years ago, I would like service that is three things: friendly, attentive, yet unobtrusive.
Non-overbearing.
Right? Because what's no more... This hit me. I've been paying attention to this a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being on a date in Flagstaff during the college days.
Jeez.
This is like sophomore year. And there was a place, a restaurant in Flagstaff, where 66 met Milton, right? And I used to bounce on one side. Okay. It was called Fiddlesticks.
Yeah, okay.
And on the other side of the building, the same owners had a fine dining restaurant called Fiddler's. Now, Fiddler's had a good little bar in it, and they used to do, this is great for a college kid, Wednesday 3-for-1s. Not 2-for-1s, 3-for-1s.
Wow. Wow. I'm never going to class again.
Camille, turn away from the radio. Now,
that's crazy.
But in the fine dining restaurant, it was one of those, if you had that gal you wanted to do the special, you know, Valentine's Day-esque thing, this is where you go, right? And I remember this server came and asked us if everything was okay every minute and a half. And I literally had to tell her, you need to go away now.
Mm.
So I like servers who fill your glass of iced tea or water without having to keep asking you over and over again. Do you want more? Do you want more? Just fill it. I always tell them, just keep filling until I say no mas. Just do it. It's not a big deal. So anyway.
Anyway.
There are amazing servers out there. Give them a little extra love today. Because, you know, there's bad servers too. Don't get me wrong. This is for all the good servers out there who are doing the job no matter what's going on. And we appreciate those sunshiny smiles. And I think what happens when we're in a town like this, right, and rightfully so, attention is on owners and chefs, right, who are creating these amazing menus, amazing food. And, of course, we've talked about it. You've met a truckload of them over the last 10 years on this show. And sometimes I think we forget our good waiters and waitresses who are kicking butt out there. So thank you. And if you have a favorite waiter or waitress at a certain restaurant that you'd like to give some love to, call us 790-2040. Big shoe today. We have our Get to Know TPD segment coming up at 7 o'clock.
Hey!
And we have Lieutenant Reese, I believe. Tim Reese. And he's a community service officer, lieutenant. He's in charge of the new TPD Parks and Recs program that we were talking about. So Tim will be here. And then I think Sergeant Marco Barboa from Homicide will be here. So we'll talk to both those fellows. Then Stevie Rivera, Eye on the Ball. He'll be on at 7:30. Hey. Then candidate for mayor, Steve Farley, who got into a little bit of a firestorm over a tweet, which is just silly, because it's not even germane to the job of being mayor. It's just, sad to say, over-emotional Democrat infighting.
They like the emotion thing, because they don't have any facts to work with.
So we'll talk to Steven, and then my compatriot who comes on after me, Zach Yenser, he's coming in an hour early, and he said to me, what do you want to talk about? And I said, I want you to bring in your top five lists of things that gives you hope in the future for Tucson's true economic development. And so this is from the young pup who hangs out with he's the executive director of the Young Professionals Organization, and he hangs out with all the cool folks. I'm interested to see, and I like Zach a lot. I want to see what he comes up with in that list, and we'll as we like to say, we'll talk it out when he gets here in the 9 o'clock hour. And then tomorrow, Dan Shearer, Green Valley News, Allie Miller, and U of A soccer coach Anthony Amato just signed redid his deal.
Yeah,
with the U of A
extended.
And
didn't Rubio extended too? Right?
I don't believe
Rubio would. Yeah.
Can you book Rivera on the show?
Rubio.
No, Rivera. So we'll ask him. He's our sports guy. No, I'm just kidding.
He'll
coming
here today.
I'm just kidding.
We've got it covered.
We have a budget deal at the state legislature with Governor Ducey. And I think there's some okay things in there, and then there's some things in there. One of them is they're going to get rid of that $32 registration fee for your car. Just wait until I tell you what year it disappears. 2024. You got to wait 5 years.
Oh, I read 3 years.
I'll look at it again.
Okay.
It's still silly. 6:15 in the morning. 790-2040. Wake up Tucson comments at gmail.com. If you miss anything, podcasts at kvoi.com, iTunes, or Google Podcasts, and then, of course, anything related to me or my favorite 35 locally owned restaurants, go to DeSimoneHQ.com. Got to go. I put the water in the coffee maker. I did not put the brewed coffee in the coffee maker, so we got to go do that.
Yeah.
Sorry, Phil and Kate.
Got the cops coming in. They have to have their coffee.
That's very true.
Right.
And then remember, we're going to Rocky Point June 3rd through the 6th and July 15th through the 18th. Please join us. Call Carmen at 622-8811 starting at 8 o'clock. And Alexander, spin us away.
Wow. Now you can finish your day. You're complete.
KTKT special here.
Baby, I love you more than I...
Leo Sayre, weird dude.
Did you just say weird dude?
Well, he can put on clown makeup and stuff like that. Like, come on, man. And it wasn't Kiss. It was just clown makeup. It was weird. Anyway. 6:20 now.
I got to go to the We Got Letters file here at Wake Up Tucson. And then I will get to a story I sent out to Ed yesterday about something that plays in perfectly. You know, we have our judges that sit in the hallway here, and I ask them on certainly politically correct thing whether that's good. Sure. So what I'll say is, you know, if it's good, the judges approve, right? Mm-hmm. If they don't approve, then they get the... Right?
Right.
So we're going to get to that story in just 2 seconds. This is about your colleges.
Okay.
Let's get to this one first. This is an NPR story. John Holden sent this to me.
Okay, cool. Thanks, John. Go.
You know what? Maybe what we'll do is maybe I'll just send you the audio, and then maybe you'll play it next hour. That's not bad either. Let's do that. I'm going to send this to you. This is about, you're going to love this, pothole vigilantes. Maybe I'll let NPR talk for me. I talk enough. I'm going to send that to you, and then this is about, of course, we live in one of the pothole capitals of the world here in Tucson, Arizona. So let me send this to Ed Alexander, and then that would be better. We'll do it when we come back at the bottom of the hour.
Okay.
This is something that I think it would just be better. I think there's some production, possible production value.
Some production elements in there. I got you.
Maybe there is. I don't know, but I'm going to send that to you. Let's get to this one, though.
Okay.
So Long Island University.
Sure.
Okay. Long Island University, Brooklyn, is scrapping its 84-year-old mascot nickname. Now, they're blaming this as a result of the athletics department's merging, supposedly.
Yeah, right. Brooklyn U?
Long Island University-Brooklyn.
Oh.
Long Island.
L-I-U.
President Kimberly Klein is the president there, and so they're getting rid of the name Blackbirds.
Bluebirds, okay.
Bluebird's fine.
Redbird's okay. Redbird? Yellowbird? I don't know.
This is on collegefix.com. And she noted that she, quote, had heard that the nickname name is, quote, an offensive racist mascot. At the end of March, Clyde had told a group of a dozen concerned LIU Brooklyn alumni that it had to be replaced for, quote, a few reasons. When asked by the alumni group about putting it up to a vote, she responded that a marketing firm had suggested that the school just wipe the slate clean. The school alums have started the Facebook group entitled LIU Blackbirds Forever. We're in support of the president's initiative in terms of combining programs as their sport athletic programs. But with respect to the Blackbird, it's iconic. It's unique. It's the only mascot in the country like it. Most of alums have been in contact with a very passionate about the Blackbird and that it's special. New York Post columnist Phil Mushnick wrote, "This week for real, LIU Brooklyn eliminated Blackbirds as its 84-year-old mascot and nickname because the school determined it's racist. Its magnificent, dignified logo, a blackbird clutching a dangling, interlocking LIU, eradicated for a logo and mascot to be named later. Left for consideration, if not action, is the removal from radio stations of Paul McCartney's gentle ode to a broken-winged creature,
Blackbird. Singing it, which happens to be about a black woman, a black bird. Hey, guy, pretty bird you got there. They're so into it. They don't even know what they're doing.
Among other things, this is what the writer for College Fix, Phil, the U.S. Air Force may have to alter the moniker of the fastest jet plane of all time.
Yes.
The SR-71, because that's also called the Blackbird.
Blackbird. Let's get this thing
out of
there.
Now, hold on. Now, our judge panels, our panel of judges is from Tucson, so that's always a whole different thing. So, judges, Long Island University, Brooklyn. It's a bird, 84 years old.
It's a bird. It's a blackbird.
I don't think I'm going to get... Okay, I got it. So the Tucson street panel here, they're down. They're not down with blackbirds.
I guess.
Is this the silliest crap you've ever...
That is so bad.
Well, we keep saying that. Is this the silliest crap we've ever heard? That is so
bizarre. Well, it's university stuff. It's university kids with no grounding, and you've got university professors that are so far off the edge. This is what you get. And why don't you spend $20,000 and send your kid to the school? That's a great idea. See what kind of education they get.
So I guess the question is this.
When do we get rid of these people?
Blackbirds. Is a blackbird, Ed?
Yes.
Here's your questions for a Rincon Ranger grad.
Okay. I got purple and white, so don't look at me. That's offensive to me.
I don't know. What does a ranger do? We got to get into that, too. Do they have guns?
Not anymore, I don't think.
Right, but if you're a Texas Ranger, Arizona Ranger, don't they have guns?
Sure.
That's a problem.
I know.
Kazachik, can you start protesting over at Rincon, please?
Please, keep you busy.
Now, Ed, is a blackbird a bird?
Hell yes.
Is...
A God-created creature.
What color is a blackbird?
I know. They didn't teach me that at Rincon. I went to TUSD. I'm not sure.
You got to the pause.
Guess.
What color is a blackbird at Alexander?
Black. I win one. What do I get?
So now, this is the deep...
I want something, man. Come on, man.
This is a deeper question here. And maybe our crack... audience.
I can't believe you're doing this. Blackbirds. Yes.
And of course, Chris King just messaged me. Yes, Arizona Rangers and Texas Rangers carry guns. So
they have badges.
You're in trouble.
Don't need no thinking.
Hey, that lady who's the undocumented lady who hates Pima County sheriffs,
yep.
Head over to Rincon and do a protest over there, please. Now, has anyone ever heard... In the history of the last 100 years or so, has anyone referred to an African-American in a derogatory way as a blackbird? Right? There's a lot of horrible racial epithets out there. Has anyone ever heard someone yell or say something bad and in connotation of a African-American and calling them blackbird? These are the reasons why. So here's the reasons why a school would not want to call themselves the Blackbirds anymore. That the blackbird is either not black nor a bird, which it is. Sorry.
Can't change that part. Bird is black and it's called a blackbird.
So the next question is, seriously, 790-2040 or message me on Facebook or Wake Up Tucson comments. Have we ever heard the words blackbird used in a bad way towards an African-American? I don't think I have, but my knowledge is limited. 790-2040. I can't believe we're doing bird talk again. Chris, welcome to Bird Talk.
Hey, hot dogs, birds. Hey, it's all in the family.
So say that one more time.
Hot dogs, birds.
That's right. Birds, this is my hot dog guy.
It's all in the family. All right, for the lowdown on the blackbirds.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
There is no true just blackbird.
Right.
They are called blackbirds. So here's your lineup. You got the Brewer's blackbird, Redwing blackbird, Rusty's blackbird, Tawny-shouldered blackbird, and the yellow-headed blackbird.
All right, now I'm looking up kinds of blackbirds.
And now I feel the red, I really do feel the red-winged blackbird would be great. They could put a little sickle on the side of it, a little hammer, and they're ready to go.
Now this guy Chris, he knows this thing, right? Red-winged blackbird, they got some grackles in there. The yellow-headed one that you're saying, I agree. There's the rusty. This guy knows his blackbirds.
I have a bird book in front of me, Chris.
Well, the idea that you even own one. God bless you.
But just down from Blackbird is Booby. I think that might have potential. Boobies.
Hold on.
The NYU.
Oh, sorry, boobies, buddy. Got shot down by the panel. Now, Now, looking at all these blackbirds on my screen right now, the one thing I notice is they're still black, except when noted with this name, right? So, the you know, it's mostly black, but it has a red marking on its wing. Got it. The red-headed, yellow-head, the rest of it's black. So still black, though, for a most part, correct?
Yes.
All right. This is what I... So, and then let me ask you one last question. Have you ever heard the word blackbird used as a racial epithet towards someone in you ever hear that in history? You ever hear that one?
No, other than the blackbirds in the pie, little... You know, grim fairy tale type thing.
Right, but but you're right. That's definitely there. And the blackbirds in the pie, but that was never used as a racial epithet, is what I'm saying.
Well, give them time.
Human nature is a hell of a thing. I hope they don't, you know, use the blackbirds in the pie. They got enough problem. They're in the pie.
But Chris, yes, you want to hear the name of a really cool bird?
Ed, you got the dump button ready?
It's called a Bahama banana quit.
Bahama banana quick?
Banana quit.
Quit. Sounds like a drink in Mexico. I like it.
So, all right, buddy. I'm out.
Have a good day. That's Chris with his bird book. I like that. So, hey, all you bird watchers out there.
Call him Birdman. Okay.
So, anyway.
Wow.
You thought this... You just think when there's something can't get any stupider, right? We have a Long Island University, Brooklyn, saying that the mascot of a black bird is, quote, racist. Let's see. One of my listeners, I love their messages. All right, 6:32 in the morning. Ed?
Yeah?
You better be playing some Beatles.
Are you ready?
So I assume right now that if we're in trouble by playing the song, is what we're saying, right?
Welcome to the crowd. Go ahead.
It's Amador at BustosMedia.com if you want to send your complaints. Here we go. We are in so deep.
Bye. Bye.
We got to find some more Blackbird songs.
Got them.
AC/DC back in Blackbird. So I got to tell you a story about this. This song. If my mom's listening, she's laughing right now.
Okay. Morning, Camille.
So when my mom and dad got married, my grandfather was setting up everything, right? And in those days, no DJs, right? You had a band. So he's interviewing the band leader for their wedding. It's like a 7 or 9 piece. Okay. This is, you know, classic Goomba wedding, Brooklyn, Queens area. And so my grandfather had a handwritten list that he handed to the band leader. And he said, "Oh, Mr. Bonagoro, these are your requests." He goes, "These are the songs you're not going to play." And number one on that list, he could not stand Bye Bye Blackbird. I don't know why. But that's one of the stories in the DeSimone lore, is giving the band leader of, here's 9 songs not to play. And knowing my grandfather, he probably said, "I'm going to give you half your money now, but if you play one of these songs, you don't get the second half of the money."
Crazy. Yeah, actually bring that up. Yeah.
I love it. Probably heard it like the last 5 weddings he'd been to and said, it's like listening to Celebration over and over again at a wedding. Yeah. Or that's another, we should have Bednarik on just to do the top 10 wedding songs everyone is sick of.
I'm in.
You know, Betsy, so is Black Tie Event out the door too?
It's out.
Yes. What happens, Ed, when a power goes out in an area? What do you call that again?
A blackout. If it only partially goes out, it's a brownout.
Oh, gee.
Don't tell Isabel Garcia.
Oh, man.
I want to get to this one. Before we get to your NPR story about the pothole vigilantes, I just love saying that word.
Was there supposed to be a video with that?
No, it's audio.
Okay.
It's NPR.
Oh, okay.
They do radio. National Public Radio.
I didn't know what was going on there. Okay.
I'm just being a brat. Listener Barb. This is not Barb from the Sausage Shop. I would say Barbie.
Yes.
And I don't remember getting much from Barb in the past. So Good morning, Chris. I've lived in 5 states. I've never seen the unbelievable times to open a road after an accident. I drove up and down the New York Thruway to work for many years, and I believe the average it took to clear an accident was 20 to 30 minutes. The emergency vehicle would be there in 5. The injury would be whisked off for treatment. The officers would do their photos and measurements quickly, move the vehicles off to the shoulder, clean up debris, and reopen the road in about 30 minutes, tops. Why does it take local law enforcement 5 to 7 hours to do the same procedures? Could you please ask one of your law enforcement people you have on the show? Only once did I evaluate an accident and turn around. I look ahead and saw a semi with a cab hanging off the edge of a bridge. Oh, this is her talking New York. If it happened in the city of Tucson, Barb, they don't have any cops.
Yeah.
How's that? So if you have a cop that's on the middle of two other things, right, that do with, you know, murder or something like that, you know, being that there's an accident, they might not get there the first thing. So I'm telling you, I think that's your answer. But I'll ask around, as we like to say. So, Ed, let's go to Sonia Hootson. And this is from Northern California NPR. And so this is, you know, this is like the big sister of our local NPR. I mean, they wish they were Northern California NPR. So as our boy Cantoni once said in a email today, Tucson's like San Francisco without a bay. He actually talks about their crime numbers. It's pretty hilarious. Eddie, you ready to go?
I think so.
All right, let's do it.
Here we go.
I'm telling you, man, I need pothole vigilantes. This is the idea, right? For some of you rebels out there, we need pothole vigilantes wearing T-shirts saying, I'm doing the job that Sharon Bronson was supposed to do.
Right.
That's what we need to do. And you might get arrested for, you know, basically doing that, but it's worth it. That's the best arrest you could ever get.
Get on the news for that.
So check this out, right? So here's some of your numbers. And I'm like, this is why it said Pima County, right? 71% of Bay Area roads are in poor condition. That's us, mm-hmm. right? Drivers, on average, spend around $1,000 more each year on car maintenance. We hear that number all the time around here. It's like usually an extra $800 a year on their car, fixing their car from this crap. Then I was just talking to someone recently who just moved here, and they had to basically replace the part of their front end or something like that. And I'm sitting there going, and their mechanic said, well, you moved to Pima County. This is where you're at. So anyway, let's just call this a clarion call out there that I need some pothole vigilantes out there right now, filling some potholes and making it happen. So what Tia Gloria brought this to our attention yesterday, what I need is pothole vigilantes who are good at asphaltic material distribution.
That's a job category of Pima County.
Right. So
that's
where we're at.
Yeah.
So if you just tuned into the show, we did a story from the College Fix that the Long Island University Brooklyn Blackbirds, the president says that she's heard from some people that they think it's racist. So it's been there for 84 years, and according to our research, blackbirds are black and birds, and I don't think they've been used as a, I'm going to look it up, see if it's ever been used as a racial epithet for African-American folks, and we'll see if there's some sort of racial connotation. But until we find that out, Ed Alexander keeps finding blackbird songs.
Ooh.
What do you got for me, DJ man?
Well, a little something from that little band from Texas.
It was just ZZ Top Day like last week, right?
Yep.
So what's the name of this, DJ man?
I can't say it.
Why? Because of the panel?
Yes, the panel.
I'll read it.
Okay.
It's ZZ Top. It's called... My God.
See what I mean? Rosemary Clooney with dancers. Thank you.
Hey, you're on Wake Up Tucson, 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. So the only thing that I could come up with a little bit right now on the interweb, of course, is that you have these, of course, these the whole Jim Crow laws.
Yes.
Which, of course, a crow is a large black bird.
Got it.
So that's the only way. But a black bird is a black bird, and there's a crow is a crow. It's still a stretch for me.
Yeah, it is a stretch. But I understand the black crow thing. That's a whole different. I would say that's a whole different thing.
In the end,
but that's just me.
No one looks at a blackbird sitting there, like Chris was talking about the red-winged blackbird or whatever, and went, "Yeah, that's racist." It's like, come on. Oh, we have to be outraged at everything?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yes, we do.
Of course.
I'm sorry. Why did I say that? All right. We just got a special guest called in and gave you some info. Tell me.
So Chief Danny Sharp from Oro Valley says they have what is called, it's called traffic incident management. It's a way that municipalities do business. It's a whole thing, okay? Booklet and all that stuff. And what they call it is safe, quick, something or other. So that if there's, in Oro Valley, if there's a pothole they're working on, they dug up the street or something like that. One, it protects the people who are working in the street, but it also gets them out of the street as soon as they can so the drivers and the pedestrians can go safely. So it's safe, quick, something. And he said that's what they do up Moore Valley, and it's a known management system.
Well, again, like I said, I think this woman's frustration is probably most likely in the city of Tucson limits where they're just strapped.
I don't know how many times I go down the street and there's orange cones and everybody's down to one lane coming to a major intersection and nothing is happening.
Right.
There's not even any guys there working, and there's no machines, no trucks, no nothing, and they just left the cones up. It's like, dudes, you're screwing up a lot of
again,
people.
Again, it could be in preparation for something they're going to do later or whatever.
But there should be a sign saying something. It's just lazy and.
It always kills me. Sad to say, so the folks that own Lotus Garden. They're closing, right?
That's one of
over
Speedway,
on Speedway,
right?
Yeah. And so what's happened, I had a couple of friends of mine who were like, oh, I haven't been to Lotus Garden in a while. So they went because it closes at the end of the month.
Uh-huh.
I love the ones who say they haven't gone for a while.
Yeah.
And then they go the last 3 days it's going to open.
Yeah.
It's like something from a Seinfeld episode. Like, where were you the last 3 years when we needed you to help make rent?
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
If you cared so much,
you would have been here.
Like three folks on Facebook like, oh, it's so great to live the memories. This is our favorite Chinese restaurant. But I hadn't been here in 4 years. and it's like if they're taking the picture with the owners, right? I think it's the Wong family, right? And you're like, where were you when I couldn't make payroll 2.5 months ago?
Yeah. Cared so much. I get it.
It's so bittersweet. It's horrible, really, in the end, right? So I understand the dad passed away. Mom's getting really old.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it was profitable.
Been in the kitchen a long time.
But if it was
time.
Profitable, the kids would take it over. Unless they really hate the restaurant business. Which is, maybe they don't dig the restaurant business.
Yeah.
So in the end, I just saw that and went, where were you guys a little earlier in the in the time of this? Let's get to holidays and this day in music history. Very important days here. This day in music history, 1966, a group called the Castiles. 1966. Ed, were you performing in 66?
Probably.
All right. Appeared at the Freehold Regional High School in New Jersey.
Got it.
They were performing at their own high school for the very first time. All members of the band were juniors at the high school.
Okay.
The lead singer was a guy named Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, man. No wonder we didn't get the gig.
You and Springsteen were prowling around the Jersey.
Even the Jersey, I was in PA, I was across the river, man. Come on. That's great.
Let's see what else we got here today.
If you haven't seen the Bruce Springsteen live on Broadway, you need to see it. It's great. He tells his whole story. It's a little bit political in one part, but otherwise it's a great storyteller telling.
You know, all my New Yorkers who went to the Broadway show, just loved it.
It was really cool. Well, so it's on Netflix or whatever now.
Oh, okay.
You can watch it. Yeah.
1971, Marvin Gaye released his 11th studio album called What's Going On? The concept album consisted of 9 songs, tells the story from a point of view of a Vietnam veteran returning to the country he had been fighting for and seeing hatred, suffering, and injustice. What's Going On is regarded as one of the landmark recordings in pop history and one of the greatest albums of the 20th century. I do really, really like that album. Here's an interesting one. It was the second British rock meeting. It was a concert in West Germany at the time because it was 1972. And the lineup for this concert was The Doors, Pink Floyd, Faces, Family, Curved Air, Atomic Rooster, Kinks, Uriah Heep, Buddy Miles, Spencer Davis, The Straubs, and Humble Pie all at the same concert in Germany. So, and then, of course, we the Rocket Man movie's coming out. Elton John, we'll see how that all plays out. And then our holidays today. It was American Red Cross Day, within the last 30 days.
Right.
It's today's American Red Cross Founders Day.
Clara Barton, what's her name?
Of course. And, of course, Ed's beautiful daughter, Courtney, is the head of the Southern Arizona Red Cross.
I know. They're having a party I'm supposed to make it to, but I'm not going to make it to because we have our own party.
That's true.
To make it to.
That's so good.
What can I tell you?
Sorry, Court. I got him this time. Dinosaur Day.
Yay!
I love dinosaurs as a kid.
Is that anything like The Thing?
No.
Okay.
Much better.
Okay.
When I was a kid, my grandfather had
I didn't know it was dinosaur.
My grandfather had, of course, the National Geographic subscription. So if there was anything that had to do with a dinosaur, he gave me the dinosaur. And of course, living in New York, going to the Museum of Natural History in New York City is the ultimate dinosaur experience for a 9-year-old kid.
Absolutely. So
that's like the Super Bowl of dinosaurs going to the Museum of Natural History.
Oh, my gosh.
National Memo Day.
Yep.
Now, remember, if you're writing memos, you suck. I'm just telling you.
Okay. That. Yeah, you told me that.
Right? Remember, what are emails? Usually memos.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love about everyone hated memos, and then we have emails, which are exactly set up like a memo. And it's what we do. And then the food day today, other than National Waiters and Waitresses Day, which we talked about earlier, we want attentive, friendly, yet unobtrusive, and there's a lot of good ones, National Strawberries and Cream Day today, of course. That's a big day for Ed.
That's for all of you who couldn't get over the quiche Lorraine yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about quiche Lorraine followed by strawberries and cream.
Yeah.
And then my last thing of the day, there was a big hubbub because in a quote Game of Thrones scene, they left the Starbucks cup there, Ed. Remember that whole thing?
Of course, yes.
So I was going through the archives. I said, did this ever happen in the Wake Up universe before? So I'm going through old pictures.
Uh-oh.
Look what I found.
I saw that.
So you're doing it. This
God,
is
God. I was young.
You were a little
Look
younger.
Look what you've done to me.
So that's true. So KLPX, when you were working at KLPX, this is early 80s.
Uh-huh.
Somehow there's a brewed coffee cup on the.
That had to be
on the counter.
Is that not recent? I mean, why was there a brewed cup on there?
I don't know. It's like one of these mysteries, like Game of Thrones. There's a brewed hadn't even started 20 years
that's
later.
What I mean. You didn't.
I'm just saying there's a brewed coffee cup.